Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. It's been a huge year already for Auckland band The Naked and Famous, a number one single, a debut album, and the 2010 APRA Silver Scroll Award. So, what's next? Well, founding member Tom Powers is here to tell us. Welcome, Tom, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How's it been the last sort of couple of months? Has things suddenly gotten busy? Or
yes, it's gotten incredibly busy, and the whole media attention thing has been quite overwhelming and pretty strange. But it's been heaps of fun.
What was the weirdest media you did?
The whole thing, just in general. I guess becoming more well known. It's a weird concept, people approaching us in the street more. Can't really go to the Ponsonby food court anymore without
bumping
into somebody.
Oh, come on, that's not true. I see P Money at the Ponsonby food court all the time.
Yeah, yes. Right now.
Is it true that you're a five piece, right? Is it true that the reason there's only one of you here is because there are four other people simultaneously doing media interviews across town? That's how busy you are?
there have been days like that where we've had to split up and do separate things, but at the moment everyone's just really busy working, trying to quit their jobs and handed in their resignations and whatnot.
So wow. And number one album this week as well, is that correct?
Yes.
On debut, number one, fantastic.
Yes.
What does it equate to in actual sales these days in the New Zealand charts?
I've got no idea. I know that gold is 7,000, the same as for singles as well. I don't know what the numbers are. It's a few thousand, I think. It's a lot for a small country.
There's been quite a lot of changes for you since you first appeared in 2008, haven't there? I mean, you were basically a bedroom studio band.
Yeah.
And then
we actually
had
still
to
are.
Evolve into a quintet, right?
We actually still are. I mean, we're a five-piece band. We work in bigger studios, but it's still us actually sort of running the show. We produce the album ourselves, and the stuff that we go into big studios for are the sounds that we can't get out of the bedroom, so it's generally just live things like drums. Pretty much in vocals for great vocal mics, but a lot of the guitars were done at home, and all the electronic productions done at home, and there's a lot of demo vocals that just stayed there till the end, done on crappy mics. So we're still very much a self-contained band, very DIY, and not indie because we think it's cool, because we really enjoy it. It's really fun being in control of what you're doing.
Some of those songs you listen to, there seem to be so many layers there. Like, there's about 100 layers of keyboards, and then they're all affected, and then there probably there's some guitars in there somewhere you can't necessarily hear them sometimes. And there's drums. What's the biggest number of layers do you reckon in a single song that you've got?
I don't know.
You worked that out?
Yeah, it happened a few times where we were kind of like freaking out because we were running too many things for our computer's processors, and we were stretching them a fair bit. But I don't know. It got pretty ridiculous, but we do try and stay within, an idea that is a five-piece band, Yeah. So even though there may be a lot of layers in the recording, I think practically everything on the record we can do live.
Yeah.
Has
that taken a bit of effort to be able to do that?
It has, but it's also been quite an enjoyable and, a key part of the creative process, because being studio engineers, you can kind of just keep going and keep changing and keep re-editing and keep doing stuff until a song is, taking 20 different forms, and having this idea that kind of contains all your songs gets you a point to stop, and you kind of let go of it and go, that's done, that's finished, that's written, we can play that, it sounds great, it's full enough. So yeah, it's a cool constraint. But
are you sick of being compared to MGMT yet?
It's only really with the first single, and I guess it's just a surface level thing that happens when you go to commercial radio. No one on commercial radio compared any of our other tracks to M83. So, you know, which is probably, to me, it seemed like a more relative comparison. So, you know, I guess when people hear the record, they'll go, oh, wait, I don't get it now.
But, you're also all over the social music sites. You know, Hype Machine, there's a lot of chatter about you guys. Did you cultivate that or did it just happen?
No, it's purely been off people interested in the music. So we're quite strong advocates of shutting up when it comes to the internet, not saying stuff or not speaking unless you have something to say. So that kind of stuff we just let happen naturally, and it feels a lot better when it does happen naturally because you haven't asked anyone to do it for you, or it's real, you know, people are really interested. Here it comes, the unavoidable sun weighs my head. But what the hell have I done that you know? I don't remember a thing, I don't remember a thing. So I'm done, and I play game and I'm sure to fall. Cut off my tongue, so you say.
Given the cynicism of the music press often to young bands, and especially young bands maybe who have an 80s sound and, sure. and things like that, were you surprised that you got so many 5-star reviews?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, when we first released our first EP, we got a 5-star from Grant Smithies in the Herald with this incredible gushing review. It was pretty amazing. And stuff like that. I guess it sounds pretty unbelievable when most artists will say, you know, you can't let it go to your head. But if you're not doing it for fans or for reviews or stuff, then it's very hard to let it go to your head because it's kind of just like, oh, that person likes it, cool. Because I'm sure there's 20 people out there who would give it a 1-star review, and you know, there's 20 other people who think it's 5-star. So I don't know. It's flattering, but at the same time, nothing like that ever changes how we feel about music.
Before we go, I've got to ask you about that massive cheese fest of a remix of Young Blood that's out there on the internet. How did that happen? Did you commission
that? Which one?
That?
I haven't heard that one. Who's that?
The big Europop one?
What is it?
Oh, it was number one on Hype Machine.
Oh, okay.
So you obviously don't even know who's remixing your records. It's just happening.
I think there's been a few that have just sort of circulated. We've put the stems out for the song to be remixed to a bunch of people. And
what are stems?
They are condensed versions of the session that you would use to mix. So instead of having layers and layers of guitar tracks, you have like one stem that is just guitars.
Yeah.
So someone essentially can edit, change, EQ the guitars in whatever fashion they want to. Very basic. Usually you get 5 stems: drums, bass, guitars, vocals, extra.
Cool.
We've sent that around to a few people. We have, you know, people working for us and overseas now. So I think it's just kind of circulated, and there's been a few bootleg style remixes as well that, you know, we're just sort of going, well, okay, fine. But I don't know about the one you're talking about.
So anyway, what happens next? Do you go out and play for all these people around the world who are getting excited about your music? When's that happen?
As soon as it can, without us having to sort of, I guess, take any ridiculous risk. You know, we don't really want to go overseas off, you know, our own savings or anything like that. It's just too hard. It's too depressing. And
it's what everyone else does.
I know, but yeah, I don't know if it's really worked that well, and I don't know. Yeah, we want to do things in the right way, and we want to do them in a professional way that allows us to put on a good show at the right venue with the sort of production that we want. We don't want to just kind of wing it and go and sleep on people's floors and play half-assed shows.
Yeah,
anywhere we can.
You're not a pub band, are you?
I mean, in the most generic kind of sense of the word, no. But we will definitely play pubs in. You know, if we went over to the UK, there's heaps of fantastic pubs with brilliant PAs and excellent capacities and club nights and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, congratulations on your year so far, and I hope it keeps going for you.
Thank you very much.
Tom Powers of the Naked and Famous, and that's from their debut album, Passive Me, Aggressive You. And if you want to hear that interview again, or any other interview that's been on Public Address Radio, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
I've been Damien Christie. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.